On the evening of November 20th, the rain that had been soaking Wrangell for days grew even stronger. Angie Flickinger was in her house on Zamovia Highway that night, listening to it pound on the roof.
All of a sudden, I heard this, like, very loud sound, like it had been amplified tenfold. It almost sounded like a jet.
A half mile up the road, Flickinger's friend Jamie Roberts heard it too. She opened her door to look for a plane, and the sound got even louder.
And it got so loud that I think I yelled at my husband, and I was like, something is wrong with the jet. It's coming down, and it's coming, I think it's coming down, like, on our house.
Just a few hundred feet away, Robert's neighbor, Christina Florschutz, knew exactly what the sound was. She'd heard mudslides before.
I didn't have any warning. I heard a noise, and suddenly I'm like a piece of weightless popcorn being tossed around all over the place and slamming into things. And then I don't remember anymore for a while.
That night, a burst of heavy rain drenched the already sodden hillside around mile 11 of Zamovia Highway. And just before 9 p.m., the earth gave way. A flow of mud roared down the hillside and buried the homes of the Florschutz family and the Heller family who lived across the road. The Hellers and their two daughters were later found dead, along with Christina's husband, Otto Florschutz. It was the deadliest landslide in recent Alaska history. From the beach that night, Roberts could see the silhouette of a big pile of debris just up the coast, and she could smell it.
Like Christmas wreaths, you know. So it was a very overwhelming conifer smell.
She'd fled to the beach with her husband and son just as the slide came down. The family was badly shaken. The heavy rain was soaking through their clothes, but they were afraid to move.
There were some loud cracking noises on the hillside. So we figured if we just stand in this one spot and are quiet, we'll be able to know which way are we going if more starts coming down the hill.
Back on the road, almost everyone else had no idea what had happened. Flickinger lives about a half mile away from where the slide came down. She thought maybe a small slide had come down somewhere near her property. That had happened before. But with her headlamp, she couldn't see much of anything.
The power went out, and I went outside. The creeks were just raging, and it was so noisy outside. But never in a million years thought it would be what it was.
The slide had taken down landlines and internet, along with the electricity. And that far out of town, the cell reception is spotty. Flickinger couldn't get through to anyone who could tell her what had happened. So she started to get ready for bed.
Just as I was doing that, my phone rang and I picked it up and it was a friend in town and she told me that there had been a big slide, like a major slide.
But even as word of the slide traveled around, there was still mass confusion in the first few hours. People didn't know where to go. Some went towards the slide with flashlights and hand shovels. Others fled in the opposite direction, searching for a flat place to camp out. And some stayed in their houses, waiting in silence, and preparing to make a quick escape. Search and rescue teams eventually arrived to evacuate people, but it still took them hours to find everyone in the pitch dark. They found Flickinger and Roberts wandering around on the road. They sent everyone to a neighbor's backyard dock. A ferry was waiting there, pinned up against the dock by strong winds. Evacuees waited on board for 3 hours, bobbing in the nasty weather, waiting for more people, and piecing together the night's events through the search and rescue chatter on the radio.
We had heard that a couple neighbors had been impacted and that it likely wasn't good. I think we were all already grieving.
By the time the ferry set off for town, 19 people were on board. They got to Wrangell close to 4 a.m. And when they got cell service, Robert's phone was flooded with messages from her own friends and from the friends and family of her neighbors, the Hellers and the Florschutz.
Basically, my message was like, I have not seen them. It would be a miracle, you know, if people were able to make it out of there.
Somehow, Christina Florschutz did. She woke up beneath a piece of roof from her destroyed house. She staved off hypothermia by wrapping herself in a bag of fleece that was nearby in the remains of her crushed sewing room. And at daybreak, she climbed out and started to make her way across the debris field.
And I see hats coming through the trees. And I people! Boy, am I glad to see you! And they heard me yell, and they came and got me.
Florschutz says she'll look for a new home in Wrangell, somewhere on flat land. Roberts will be looking for a new place, too. Her house isn't damaged, but she can hardly stand to be inside for more than a few minutes.
But I just keep being like, I'm alive and I have my family.
The rest, she says, they can figure out later. With help from Colette Czarnicki and Caroline James, I'm Anna Canny in Wrangell.